Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
This is Evan Dawson. If you like conversations that take you beyond the headlines, join me on Connections. Every day, we dig into the issues shaping Rochester with the people living them, researching them, even trying to change them. No hot takes, no shouting most of the time. Just real conversations that keep you involved in your community. Listen to Connections wherever you get your podcasts.
That is very sick.
I saw you shooting some film on Instagram.
Yeah, I started the low phase lens, and I just take all these old point and shoots from thrift stores and just try to make a mess. I got kind of obsessed with it.
Welcome to Dialed In. I'm Wade Reed.
I'm Aaron Pascucci.
And tonight we are joined by Marvin Gaye of Low Phase Coffee.
What's up?
And if things look a little different, it's because we are out at AMFM at 45 Euclid Street. The studio was not available tonight. We want to send some love out to our producer, Chris Lindstrom, who experienced a family tragedy and obviously had to be present for that and couldn't be present tonight. So we put together best we could here at AMFM. Thanks to AMFM, the crew there, for helping me set this up. And Aaron, how's the week?
Week's been good. It's a little... Everybody is hoping for spring break soon.
Yeah, let's just get there.
Yep, kids are ready.
As soon as possible.
Teachers are ready. I'm ready.
They love that February break. That's for my kids loved February break. That just like extra week off.
Yeah, it's never enough.
Exactly.
It's never enough.
Exactly. They're all comparing it to Christmas and summer, so.
Marvin loves his spring break too.
Yeah.
What are we doing for spring break this year?
Making coffee.
Just making coffee. Love it. All right, Marvin. Let's talk low phase. You ready?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been I've been excited to have you on the show for a while. Pretty much since we started, I've been trying to, you know, come on, let's record and I'm glad, you know, we finally got here and it finally worked out schedule wise and
back when you was level up. Level up.
All the way back then. Yep. The level up days, so tell us about Low Phase. Like, who are you? How'd you get here? What are you trying to do?
How did I get here?
Yeah. give us the short bio first.
Short bio. All right. Actually, when I found coffee,
yes,
I was actually homeless, and I always went to Java's because I had a homie there. He always hooked me up with free coffee, stay warm, and I saw someone do like latte art. And I was like very into it. I was very intrigued by it. So that spring, I ended up moving back home. And
where's home?
Sodus.
Back out to Sodus.
Yep. Unfortunately. But a shop opened up out there. And then I slowly started working there. And I say after maybe a year, because I just slowly became very interested on how coffee is brewed, how it's roasted, finding out that all coffee didn't come from Colombia, you know?
Right, yeah, little bits at a time.
Yeah.
Those little bits of knowledge you take on, definitely.
And then I ended up getting a DM from Rory at Ugly Dog. I didn't know specialty coffee like that. I didn't know it. So went there, spoke with Roy, and he just showed me like a different world of coffee and how many black baristas that look like, you know what I mean, that really mix up like a dead stock coffee out in Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I was hooked on that. I was like, wow, this dude resell sneakers and makes coffee. That's cool. And he was wearing, I saw the first photo, he was wearing like a No Limit Soldier Master P jersey.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
Behind a bar. I was like, yo, you can take it there. You know, you can take coffee there, yo. So
it's not like that in sodas.
Nah. Unless, I'm not going to speak on it, but nah, you can't do that out there. But I just really got fascinated by different coffees, especially when I got to, when I started working at Ugly Duck, that was like coffee boot camp.
Yeah, I'm
it
sure.
It really was. I never.
What coffee knowledge did you have going in at that point?
Nothing.
None. Just from scratch.
From scratch. Rory, he took me to the dish area, and he had his laptop, and I sat there and watched how to make a pour over, and how to dial in. Like, I'll say, maybe 2 hours just sitting there.
Watching videos?
Yeah. Like, all this. I was like, damn. I didn't know coffee was all that, you know? Like,
you didn't realize you could watch coffee for 2 hours online?
Yeah. No, like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm not lying, because, like, Wade and I do watch coffee for 2 hours.
Shit. We've all done it, for sure. For sure.
I'm sorry. But,
no, it's... That's the life.
Yeah, right. But, I just got hooked. And then I remember one time, how I learned how to steam milk properly. I did not know I was doing it wrong. Rory made me stay after work for like 2 hours steaming milk. And that's how I got better at it.
Yes, young grasshopper.
And having things critiqued.
Yeah.
What was it? Was there like a specific bad habit you had that he didn't like? Or was it like you were just doing things, kind of overdoing it and making it too hot?
Way too hot. Because when I first started, they didn't kind of care about it. I didn't know it was like another level to it. So
several levels.
Yeah. So I kind of got hooked on it. I love what I do.
I mean, you got thrown in the deep end like real fast.
Yeah, Ugly Duck is.
But
no
you had
joke.
The Zen, like a, one of the Zen masters sitting there showing you though.
Yeah. It, yeah.
That'd be intense.
But you know what the crazy part was, though? It was like a full circle moment, because before Rory opened Ugly Duck, he was doing pop-ups.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I had a real cappuccino was from Rory at Crudco.
I don't even know he did a pop-up
there. Yeah.
Was that over on Mount Hope?
Mm-mm.
No.
Park Ave.
Okay.
It was on Park Ave. So I'm like, yo, cappuccino. And it was so good, I came back and got another one.
Nice, yeah.
And I haven't seen him since that time, and just so happened.
So how did tell us, how did you get hired at Ugly Duck? Like,
just from that DM, right?
Yeah, just from the DM. I didn't apply.
So he just like found
you. Scouted.
Yeah, he was like,
you got scouted.
He just said, yo, stop by the shop, let me holler at you. But I was like, all right, bet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good. That was it. And then I didn't realize the level Ugly Duck was on, because I was skating. After I got hired, like a week later, I was skating downtown and I saw a homie. He was like, yo, congratulations. I'm like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Congratulations. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, you got into Ugly Duck. You know, it's like impossible. I was like, oh, shit. Thanks, man. Cool. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So then while you're at Ugly Duck, I mean, you all went through lockdown and kind of came out of that. And that was when Low Phase was really born. That was the first conversation I had with you about Low Phase.
Yeah. Well,
tell us about this. Like how did it
come up? How we got to Low Face.
All right.
He's going to say some things right now, and I just want to preface them with they're true from his perspective.
All right. I don't think I've ever seen Wade's face because we were wearing masks at the time.
Yeah, it was lockdown.
Oh.
So yeah. All I know is a black beanie and a mask.
And a black mask.
And he'll get a shot of espresso. And I'm behind the bar, and I'm trying to make the perfect shot for this guy, and it was never good enough. So I think a month went by, and I'm like, yo, why the fuck is he so miserable? Like, why is he, like, I always wonder. I'm like, so I think it was a Kenya, and you're not a fan of Kenya on espresso.
Generally, I'm not a fan of Kenyan coffees.
So he was like, wow. This is really good.
And Marvin's doing cartwheels in his head.
Right. Right. I was like, I finally got him to like it. And then after he leaves, Rory and Joey Clark, he was like, you know what you just did, right? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, dude, like, you got way to like a Kenyan or an espresso. That's like a milestone, bro. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. You know? Like, so. A few months later, he walked up. He was like, yo, how about you start your own coffee company? It was COVID. So
yeah,
opening a business is like the last.
Why thing would I do this?
Yeah. Mid COVID. So I thought about it, and I used to put, you know, you look at an Instagram reel and someone's doing latte art and this is like mellow, dramatic hipster music.
Oh yeah. Yep. MGMT or Tame Impala.
Blood Orange.
Yeah.
Everybody loved Blood Orange. But I started putting like Griselda, West Side Gun, like while pouring a Tula. And I went to apologize like on Instagram stories and stuff. And Rory goes, like, yo, don't apologize. This is sick.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And I'm like, all right, so I kept going. I kept doing it. And so I was like, all right, what else do I like? Skateboarding. 90s. That was like my era.
Yeah.
So that's how Low Phase was born. And plus, Low Phase, it has a meaning to it. Like, it's about, you know, finding your strength at your lowest point.
Okay.
Something a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to just come up with a name and throw it out there and be like, oh, it's a brand, but how can you connect with people? And I was like, we all have these dark moments in our lives, just like how I found coffee too.
Uh-huh.
I was homeless, went to coffee shops all the time. And it just naturally snowballed. That's why I'm so passionate about it, because it's just snowballed into this thing.
Well, it's such a big part of your story.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about coffee finding you, or you choosing coffee, and coffee chose you.
Yeah.
Like,
I never thought about it like that.
Well, but even beyond that, it's like, I think like you see a lot of top down coffee. You see a lot of like the retirees think having a coffee shop is going to be like an easy way to keep steady income. You see a lot of like the developers, oh, you know, we have this new high rise. Let's bring in a coffee shop on the ground. You see a lot of top down coffee, and to see someone go like, coffee from the bottom up, like from my lowest point, is, I mean, like, that's a totally different form of like inspiration. It really gives people some hope that like you don't have to be like, you don't have to have everything figured out and the perfect design and the perfect this and perfect everything. You just have to bring you, because it's like you were saying, like, you felt like, oh, this isn't how you do coffee,
right?
But
right,
then
right.
It was someone saying to you like, you do you and let coffee come along, and like,
right.
Exactly.
And I think it's been really cool, like, just being part of that journey, and even just like the coffees that you select and the ones you drop. Like, sometimes they're ones that like I would bring in, and sometimes they're ones that I'm like, this is actually like really a challenge for me. I remember the last Kenya you brought in, I was like, this is like actually really a challenge for me. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
it really was.
It was a yeast inoculated. Mm-hmm. Kenya, and like I had never, that was the first one I'd ever done.
Like, I even struggled with it on espresso.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, we had to use that funky ass basket that day.
Yeah.
The worst the worst portafilter basket I own. And this guy's like, here, check this out. I think this is working better. Yeah. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
It is this janky, like, I don't even know if it came with the machine or what. Like, it just, and he just made his thing. That was how he got the espresso on. So
it was, made it happen.
It was, it was really cool. Like, and that's kind of what you've just been doing, just like making it happen. And so, like, you know, if you go to the Low Phase Instagram, you're going to get a lot of skating, you're going to get a lot of coffee, you're going to get a lot of hip hop, that kind of thing. Like, if you now, I was talking to you when you started.
Ooh. Okay?
Mm.
You now sitting here.
when Rory?
Yeah, like
when Rory was making you watch videos.
Yeah, when you started that Low Phase Instagram, what do you want to say to you then? Like, you know.
Keep going. It'll work out.
It'll work out. That's the message, right?
It will work out, yeah.
Keep going.
And it's plus, when I was at my first job, I was also roasting.
Okay, yeah.
I was roasting. Like, I started roasting, like, a Honduras there. And
was that Imprint?
Yeah, okay. Imprint. And I didn't, like, the chemistry behind roasting a bean, I just let that air open for like 10 seconds longer.
Okay.
And then people started loving it. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. You know what I mean? At the time, I didn't know. I just went by how my boss was telling me how to do it. And I just did little tweaks to it. And then I think American Spirits was like, yo, we really like this Honduras. We want to make a coffee liqueur out of it. And that, you know, that was kind of like, damn, I did something.
You've had some big moments.
Exactly, yeah. I did something. You know what I mean? Like, so that kept the fire burning.
So for those of us who don't know roasting, what does leaving the air open do to the roaster, to the beans in the roasting process?
I have no idea. I just did it.
Yeah.
Like, I just figured, like, maybe this coffee is too roasted. You know what I mean?
It's too roasted?
Yeah, too roasted. So I was like, yo, I'm going to let the air hit it a little. And then it just became, but my boss didn't know I was doing that. He didn't know.
Is he finding out now if he's listening? Yeah, oh, yeah. He never found out?
What's up, Trevor? I'm sorry. but I made it happen.
Yeah,
I made it happen.
Exactly.
I'm not That's too so familiar on roasting.
Yeah.
Until unless I'm with you. And
yeah,
you
depending
know what
on
mean?
The machine, that could do a couple of different things.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it could be like you're saying.
It was like
an
old Turkish machine, too.
Yeah. Could like, slow down like, the process a little bit and like just
had
apply.
Like a timing chain on it.
There you
like,
go.
Yeah, it was old. It was very old.
You could be moving a little extra thermal mass, just a little bit. It could actually be like intensifying some of the processes. It's a little bit different for every machine, and depending on what you mean by like leaving the air open, you know. And I would have to actually see it to know exactly what was going on there.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's like, so I want to talk tasting with you because I feel like one of the things that like you're uniquely good at is tasting. But this microphone's starting to drive me nuts. So I'm actually, let's take our first break.
Yes.
And I'll fix this microphone and
then we'll come back with tasting.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Matt from the Anomaly Presents podcast. I want to take a moment to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts on the Limp Shore Podcast Network. It's Common Thread. Rory Van Grohl and Greg Benoit talk with their guests about how the values, philosophies, and sense of community found in hardcore punk has influenced the trajectory of their lived experiences in unexpected ways. It features organic discussions that illuminate how hardcore punk is the common thread that provides continuity throughout our lives and connects us to one another. It's Common Thread on the Lunch Door Podcast Network, anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we are back with Marvin Gaye, Low Phase Coffee, hearing all about the story. But I want to talk about the skills, because the skills are unique and the skills come through, and like tasting with you is always fun. And you know, the story I want to tell about tasting is kind of our most recent venture. I just brought in this anaerobic Kenya. Kenya's the theme tonight. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Don't really mess with Kenyas as much as this is making it sound like. I just brought in this anaerobic Kenya. First roast went way too fast and was super flat. Second Roast lengthened it out, tried to keep some things structured and intact. They were good. It's not popping, not really wild. And so you and I got on the table. We tasted through both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at this curve. We looked at the two curves and how we wanted to bring them together, what sorts of elements, you know, we wanted to preserve and what sorts of elements we wanted to change. Then I roasted that, and that, like, not even kidding you, was like an impossible curve to roast. It was so hard. I was like constantly adjusting and just like had to keep my eyes on it at all times. So it was really wild experience for me. But I mean, it just snapped. It is so right. And it's really just going from like, so Josiah had tasted, that's the bar manager here at AMFM. Mm-hmm. He had tasted through it and given me some notes. And I was like, okay, that's a good direction. I tasted it. And I was like, okay, I have some direction. And it was like kind of you confirming a lot of that scent in, you know, its final direction and the way we built that profile together. Yeah, so yeah. Like, where does tasting come in for you? Like, is that something you learned at Ugly Duck? Is that something you've learned? Or, I mean, for me, it's a skill I have to constantly hone. And like, I don't think about anything as much as I think about tasting. Yeah. So like,
Ugly. The thing is, like, me and Rory was so, like, because crazy part is, like, all the dudes I skated with at Crudco when I was a kid, I didn't know they were, like, friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, we kind of connected off, like, hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know he listened to hip-hop the way, like, his knowledge on the history of hip-hop, you know, so we kind of, you know, they'll get bunch of different coffees in and
we'll
sit there
constantly.
He'll make a pour over some shit that tastes like peanut butter and jelly,
right?
so we'll sit, taste like for hours, just how this shot tastes at these numbers. And I just develop, just also too, I ain't gonna hold you, just believe in what you're tasting.
I think that's a huge barrier for people.
So tell me more about believing what you're tasting.
Like, okay.
Because we just had this, was it Ethiopian anaerobic? Yeah. And it was wonderful, right?
Amazing.
I don't know that I could have pulled out a ton of different flavors, but as soon as Wade said cherry cordial, you know, those chocolate covered cherry cordials. That was all I tasted after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you say believe.
Yeah, you just got to believe. Like, when I dial in, I'd be like, yo, this is in my head. I'm not going around like telling everybody.
Yeah, you should.
I just don't.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But every time I go behind the bar, I dial in, I'm like, okay. I'm going to put faith into this shot, and it's going to be good. And then, you know, people gravitate to what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Like, they do.
Well, I mean, so strictly speaking, you don't just taste with your tongue. You taste with your memories. And like what you know about flavor is built in. So when you approach that thing and it comes and it's just bare stimulus on your tongue, like, your brain has to tell you. And so it is totally an exercise of like trusting yourself and that sense memory. And like, I mean, you cannot, I've hosted so many cuppings. I've trained so many baristas, and like just getting people to call out flavors, just getting people to say they taste this is so hard because like they don't,
they're afraid,
believe in themselves.
Yeah.
Like the confidence level is like something that absolutely people should, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if we should like get every barista a therapist. And like you got to believe in you, you know?
Dude, that's the next dialed in.
In a humble way, though, I never claimed I was the best. I do my best. I always, every day, do your best. From steaming, dialing, you know, it's just, I developed it over time that you just got to believe that what you're going to give the customer is going to be the best thing. It's going to make their day. So,
I mean, there's a lot of truth to just being confident in what you're doing and having that raise the quality of stuff.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I mean, when I've got student teachers in, Dude, kids can smell fear. If you are at all timid about what you're doing, man. And so, like, I bet you it's similar. Like, I can walk into a shop and know whether or not the barista knows what he's doing.
Hesitation is a message behind the bar, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, baristas need to feel like they know everything. But, like, you can kind of tell if someone's, like, is not confident in their skills.
Right.
So. And it makes me less confident.
Like,
when
you can tell the passion's not there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, like, you can tell with some, like, I worked at a shop that had, you know, burnt oily beans and stuff. And I was so confident. I put them skills that I've learned from Ugly Duck and found a way how to dial it in, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Nice. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was there.
And I got like a cherry dark chocolate out of it.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, this is the best we can do with this bean.
Sure.
This is the best we can
do.
You do
what you got.
It was a little bit making chicken salad out of chicken shit, for sure.
That's a good thing. I like that.
But it reminds me, you know what it makes me think of? Did you ever, you're gonna love this. Did you ever hear that interview with J. Cole about why he dropped Born Sinner the same day as Yeezus?
No, I never.
This is such a good story because he's like, I know I can't outsell Kanye. I know I can't like reach the level of what he's built where I'm at now, but I can put my stuff out on the same day and be like, you be the judge. That's what you're saying. Like, that's that humble confidence. That's like, it brings it out so well.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Like,
people told me, like, oh, this is gross. Cool. You know what I mean? It's cool.
People who were used to getting stuff from you at Ugly who went to that shop, because I know what shop you're talking about. We're probably a little bit like, well, I wish he'd stayed at Ugly.
Right.
It's a little bit of a different style of shop, and like, not taking care to source quite as carefully. And yeah, I mean, like, and they, you know, they did their business, right? Like, they did their business. And like, I'm nothing against that, but it was a really different mentality.
But that's where the skills come in. Like, and that's where you shine and you can prove yourself. If you can be given something that's way less than perfect and still get something great out of it.
You make it happen.
Yeah. And that's where the real change makers come in.
Absolutely. You know? Well, and coffee's a mirror. You know what I mean? Like, if you're an outgoing person, like, you're going to be, like, on the bar manager. You know, you're going to be on the front counter. You're going to be that, like, talk it up, get to know the regulars. If you're, like me, you're just going to, like, find a roasting cave somewhere and just live there and be a total troll and, like,
I mean,
you know,
that,
only
that
invite.
That sounds like a good life, man.
Only invite certain people like in life. To taste, right? You know, and then, you know, like, if you love to travel, there's, like, sourcing and things like that. Like, coffee's a mirror, and it really does allow you to explore who you are. Like, and that's, I feel like, if nothing else, like, you can look at Low Phase and see, like, that operative in your life, in your business, in your brand, and, like, so where's it going?
I was gonna say that's perfect.
Where's it going?
Segue.
What's next? And here I have a new favorite question.
Okay. I got a couple things first.
Okay. All right, you go.
First of all, tell us about the first drop. What went into that? What was that like?
The first drop? Yeah. Oh man, the first drop was sick. Like, all right, so Wade pulls up with this box, all the beans are in. So I take at the time I had this old ass Honda CRV. And I had it.
Wait, is that the little sports car?
No.
It's like
that's the SUV.
It's a smallish SUV.
It's like the first CRV ever.
Oh, I'm thinking it's CRX.
Yeah.
Okay. Nah. Back to no cars. Let's go back.
And I didn't have a site or anything. I didn't.
Yeah.
So I was just taking cash. So I was like selling it out the back of my car. Like straight.
This is awesome.
Pull up to the skate
straight
park.
Hustle.
For real.
Open
for
it
real,
up.
For real.
Yep. No,
I had, yo, yep. I had, I remember one time I had like six people in a line and I'm just like serving beans out the back of the car. I was at another shop. I ain't saying no names, but they got mad because, I mean, which is wrong. It was wrong. But my car used to park on the side of the shop and people were like, yo. They called me Low Phase. They was like, yo, Low Phase, da da da. And then I was like, yo, you gotta meet me outside.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like for real, like I'm really hustling.
Meet me around the corner.
Put the plug.
Yeah. That kind of thing. So I remember I went out to the truck and I was just like, yo, $20.
Yeah.
Cash. And then funny part was like a cop pulled up. He was like,
yeah, that probably looks a certain way.
Like he was like, yo, What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, it's just something coffee, man. Cash only. Bought a bag.
Nice.
A bag. So I was like, okay.
All right.
Like, so that, it, once again, it was like natural. People
gravitated.
Like, yo, this dude is looking like a drug dealer, but he's selling beans.
I'm not going to lie. If I had caught wind of some random guy selling beans out of his car around the corner, I would have been there in a minute.
Yeah, it makes it sound even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to get back to that. I like that. I don't know. I just like the fact
guerrilla,
that.
Guerrilla marketing is what I heard it.
But yeah, it's absolutely.
Like specialty coffee.
Well, and like just get out there. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, like, because it's easy. Like, we all love shops. And, you know, maybe we know a roaster we can stand talking to. But, like, it's another thing to be, like, of the people. Like, meeting people where they're at with, like, the caliber of stuff that you source. Because, like I said, like, the stuff you select is always, like, tip top, you know. And we're always working it out, like, what the, you know, the exact thing you want is. So, so is that what's next? You're going to just load up the SUV again and
I want
get out
to I really want to now that the weather's getting better out there, so yeah, I really want to get back to that and learn more of roasting because this vocab is insane.
It's a little sciencey.
Yeah the vocab.
It's a little technical, but I mean,
but it's fun though. I think doing it though.
Well, I mean, even just like putting that profile together, it's like, I think it'll be very natural to you if you get more reps on it for sure. And like, but what else are you working on for Lil Face? Because like, we've talked about a couple different things lately. So, yep.
And I got a buddy of mine. We're going to try to put together a little cinematic commercial. And
okay.
I got a homie, like, cameras. You know.
I was going to say, tell us about the Lil Face lens.
The Lil Face lens. That's another natural thing that just happened. I don't know. I went to a thrift store and I saw this camera. It was like a Minolta. Bought it and just dope pictures, like films. I got addicted to film. So I go around to thrift stores, buy shitty old cameras and try to make the best out of that camera that no one, like everyone neglected and didn't want. And I'm like, show them that this piece of shit is actually valuable.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Well, what's up? What do you mean?
Taking the shit of the earth and turning it into something beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm from. We had to, you know, use what we had and make something out of it. And that's another thing of Lil Face. It's all in this like bracket, you know, like this thing is to take something that's neglected or frowned upon and make it, you know,
make it something worthwhile.
Yeah. Make something out of it.
Well, show people what it really is.
Right.
Show people what it really is.
What it really is. Yeah.
Beyond like their judgment or beyond like just the surface of like where people think things belong.
Right.
Like take things where they really belong.
Or just like how the coffee industry is. Like you gotta, you know, have the man bun. Listen to some you gotta have the man bun, you gotta
no
listen
man
to
buns
some,
here.
Some, say.
Yeah. Melodramatic music and all this shit. I'm like,
yo. Tattoos.
Right.
Who's got, you know, what standard. Are you talking about? Oh,
you know,
crap.
I mean? Like, so, and that's another thing. Like, when someone see me behind the bar, they don't think I know until I start educating.
Until you drop the knowledge.
And they're like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit. Like,
show them exactly
who
you are. At
first, I got pissed because I was like, you don't have to look a certain way to like know coffee.
No, but I mean, in life, we know that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
And so it sucks that people have to overcome that initial impression. It's not even an impression, right?
Yeah.
Like it's that first.
It's more just a judgment.
Yeah, that first judgment.
Completely blind judgment. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
After a while, I'm like, you know what? We're going to use this. We can use this for, you know, like just proving people wrong.
Dude, I couldn't have guessed this episode would have taken this direction. This has been so it just one of the things Wade has been really annoyed at is the where the coffee scene goes and has gone. And I think my synopsis of that is that we have a severe lack of people putting a direction or a their own spin on what coffee is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of replication going on. Yeah. And there's a lot of great coffee, but it's not moving the industry forward.
Yeah.
It's not pushing it in a new direction. Or, you know, adding to the industry in a real valuable way, right?
Yeah. It's more an expression of a Pinterest board than who someone is, as opposed to, like, clearly we have an expression of who someone is in low phase, right?
And
I mean, like, that's for me, like, that's why I fuck with someone like Marvin. That's why I fuck with someone like Billy. That's why it's easy to, like, go out and find the thing that is much more original and put my stamp on that.
How me and Billy became tight.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we had, same views on
Billy T. Lyons, Fauve Coffee.
Fauve Coffee. Go listen to the Fauve episode and also look for the Fauve drop March 21st.
March 21st.
And also tell Billy the Mets suck because the Mets suck.
That's him.
They're the worst.
Go hit up both these guys at Merck on Main.
But that's why it's easy to work with you guys because, like, it feels like if anything's going to move the industry forward, it's people being willing to try new things, but also just be themselves and not settle for the Pinterest board, for the Facebook perfect, like, nonsense.
And that's what I was going to say is this, it seems like this day and age, there's just such a lack of authenticity. And whenever you find it, like, people latch on.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And sometimes they latch on in a way that's like, they just end up recreating it. And it's like, you want to think that that's okay, but at the same time, like, it gets really old. And I think we've done that a little too much in coffee in Rochester. And that's, different vibe from low phase for sure.
Let's bring it back. Low phase coffee in 10 years.
What is your goal? Like, when will you do the thing that you're like, okay, I made it. I did the thing in coffee.
Honestly, I want to get to 10 years. That'd be sick to have like a warehouse you could skate in with a small coffee bar. I think that's the goal where my main thing is like having a place with my experience in coffee. People like me are still not accepted in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I'm like, people that look like me ain't really welcome.
Coffee is still so white.
We can say it.
Quiet indie music. Yeah. Coffee is still so super misogynistic. Yeah, coffee is still so racist. Like, it's ridiculous. Well, I think, you know, and in certain areas it's probably worse than others, but like,
especially specialty coffee. We're talking about forking out $20 for 10 ounces these days.
And my thing is this is like, y'all like want African coffees, but when a black person shows up to your shop, it's like an ick. So I don't understand. That irritates me the most.
Yeah, we can talk all about Africa as a source country, but
right. So
it's the source of all life on Earth, actually. Like, so, like, let's take that into account.
Like, people call me like hood trash, da da da, and I'm like, okay, you know, like,
sure,
yeah,
all right. But Kendrick Lamar is your favorite rapper. That's so weird. That's so weird.
So, love that Super Bowl halftime show. Can't stand it that the barista has anything in common with that man. Right? Ridiculous.
So. My main goal is have a shop where kids that grew up like me and, you know, have a place to go without feeling, you know what I mean, vibed out.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you got a passion for that and you want what you maybe didn't have.
Yeah. And like when I was at Ugly, they had those apartments.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was like three black kids. They used to pull up. They started pulling up. One of them used to always get a chai. I don't know why a kid that young is getting a chai. I don't know. He had to have been about like maybe 12, 13. And he was like, yo, you was at the skate park. I was like, yeah, man. I just do my thing, you know. He was like, yo, that's so cool. And I did the little latte. Uh-huh. And he saw that and he was like, yo, man, I'm going to be like you when I get older. So I was like, oh, damn. I didn't know what. You know, I never been acknowledged like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, they're watching.
Uh-huh. Kids are always watching.
Yeah, it's absolutely
crazy.
Yeah.
Like to this day, people like some of the kids from the skate park. Yo, I need a job, man. I was like, you hiring? Like, I'm like,
not, you know, yet, not, like, yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, you're going to get there for sure. But
that's my main goal.
Yeah. To make good on that.
And skateboarding. Being a black skateboarder, it still ain't cool, you know? Like,
sure.
Other kids call, you know, like I've been through it, but like back when I was young, shit.
No.
Dang.
Nah. Yeah, so I just think, I got another little program I'm gonna start. It's called Push Therapy. It's for black kids, inner city, that that are into skating and if they're looking for that place, you know,
dude,
if they can't afford boards or something, I want to, you know, raise enough money. If they get good grades, they can go to Crudco or Pastime to get shoes and stuff like
that.
So I fell into what I teach these days is I have a shop. I've got wood tools. I got 3D printers. I got all this stuff, right?
That's dope.
It is dope. And 2 years ago when I didn't know anything what I was doing there, a bunch of the kids came in. They're like, I made a skateboard. I want to make a skateboard.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
And so like I looked at, you know, what they did and it was like a piece of plywood, you know, some reinforcement on there. I'm like, this isn't a skateboard. So I got on YouTube. Dude, building a skateboard is not that difficult.
That's
this is
awesome.
A mold.
And in literally on my desk is like within 5 years, I want to be building skateboards.
It'd be a manufacturer.
Just for fun. And so this could have wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Nice.
That's why, you know, Push Therapy, that's another little project. It's still in the works because I'm working with Al from Crudco and we're just talking about it. I think we have these programs, you know, for the community, but I don't think, there's no black doing skate pro, you know, like.
Yeah.
Not on that level. Yeah. I haven't seen anything that's like targeted and catching, I don't know, what do you say? Catching fire going through it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I figured, and I thought about this last year, and I'm like, yo, Push Therapy. I think that'll be a good program for, because, you know, back when I was younger, I was always just different. I was always different. And 5 years old, I saw this skate video. It's called Skate Temple. And it had Ray Barbie, the first time I ever saw skateboarding, black skater. And I'm like, yo, this is awesome. I need to do this. And so ever since then, you know, growing up, it was more white boy. You want to be a white boy. Skateboarding's not cool.
Yeah.
Pick up a basketball. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, and kids still deal with that to this day.
Yeah.
Sure.
Figured, you know, try to make low phase and Push Therapy. Something kids can be inspired
by. I mean, even from the other side, I got, you know, my black students who come through and some of them are pushing themselves into basketball and you can tell they don't really want to play.
I don't know. I mean,
but that's where their friends are. And
yeah like even when I started working at the coffee shop in my hometown, like man, you always trying to do some white people. And I was like, yo, coffee's from Africa. what you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And they'd be like, what? And I'm like, yeah, coffee's from Africa. Dumbass. But, you know, whatever, you know.
That's the episode title. Coffee's from Africa, dumbass.
My mother would kill me, but I would wear that on a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's low phase merch right there.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
We could get that Kenya or that African continent outline from that one bag.
But it's still a thing, though. Like, a lot of black people don't really know. They think it's Colombia. They always think it's, like, because Folgers.
Yeah, good marketing. You know what I mean? It's good marketing, yeah. All right, so I think we're coming up on time here, and we always got to end with our favorite question, which is, describe for us the best cup of coffee you've ever had.
Best cup of coffee I've ever had. Nicely at Hooked Venice in Venice Beach, they have a drink called the Rico, and it's like raw vanilla. It's like an orange extract with like raw cocoa sprinkled on top of it. It's like a cortado made with half and half. It has to be half. It is literally
that's gonna be rich.
Best. That was you got that from Nicely?
Yeah.
Now talk a little bit about Nicely so that people who don't know, because we'll tag him.
Well, yeah, Nicely, I think he's 3-time world champion.
World latte art, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, latte art champion. It was like a random, once again, Rory showed me the video of the slow pour, and we kind of just started talking. Like, just
he's very open. It's really easy to get in touch with him. Yeah, super accessible dude.
You and Nicely.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sneakers and all that shit. We'll sit and shoot the shit. And I go out there once a year. I see him about twice already. And very consistent. I gotta go. If you're ever in Venice, get the Rico. Go see Nicely. Chill vibe.
What's the shop again?
I was going to say, what shop is that?
Hooked Venice.
Hooked.
Yeah, yeah. And even like the first time I went there, he plays vinyl records.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick. So every time, the whole time I was there, he was playing like Jay-Z. Like nice. East Coast hip hop. Yeah.
Love it.
Really dope vibes there. Cool guy. That's also who inspires me. Like, cool, I didn't know him and Lem Butler. Like, I didn't know people of color. You know what
Lem
I mean?
Is, yeah, Lem is amazing.
Won championship. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was very, very inspired by that. So,
yeah. I met Lem through competitions, and I'm going to quick plug what Lem's doing right now. It's, he's on the board for Grounds for Health, and he's doing a 10K fundraiser for cervical cancer screenings in Ethiopia, because 80% of the coffee workforce in Ethiopia is women, and they have to walk 5 kilometers to get any kind of medical care. So 5 kilometers there, 5 kilometers back, it's 10K. So he's doing 10K for the fundraiser. Mm. I'm thinking we need to reach out and we need to organize one here. Cause I can run a 10K in my sleep, and anyone can walk a 10K.
I was going to say, honestly. I could train for a 10K.
And there are a ton of run clubs here in the town, and like Fleet Feet's tight with Ugly. And like, let's hook this up. Cause like, it's a great cause. $65. That's how much one of these cervical cancer screenings costs.
It's only 3 bags.
And so like how easily could we raise enough like to, I mean, how many of these could we
when
afford,
is,
you know?
When are they doing it, or is it just
so,
continual?
I mean, his is going to be in March. I think it's next week. And so, like, we're a little late to that party, but, I mean, and I wouldn't want to do a 10K in March in Rochester anyway. Like, that's just asking for freezing cold weather. So maybe we'll do ours in May. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to reach out to him and be like, hey, if we did ours in May, like, could we, you know, raise some money for y'all? And,
yeah.
And just, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. But Lem is amazing. Yeah. I remember. So yeah. I have a couple of Lem Butler stories.
Can we get Marvin to run a 10K?
Yeah.
Run walk. I mean,
me and
like,
Billy.
Yeah.
Me and Billy do trail runs. On
there you go.
Weekend.
There you go.
There you go. We'll get Fav, Low Phase.
Low Phase.
Everyone out there. So.
Kapani too.
Kapani. There we go. Kapani. Yep. Yep. Kapani. Potted Bean. We'll get Potted Bean in Potted on this. Bean. He looks like he could run a 10K.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anthony. Definitely.
Anthony, hit us up on the gram. Let us.
But with Lem, one more Lem story. I had judged Lem 1 year, I think. I had either judged or spectated him 1 year. And then the next year, the two regionals were happening at the same time in the same place. I'm in the Northeast Regional. He's in the Southeast Regional, right? And I don't think I had done my competition set yet. And I watched his, and I was like, God damn, I'm glad he's in the other region. Because, like, it was so intimidating. And, I mean, like, the Northeast region is not slouch. Like, that's all Brooklyn. That's all Philly. That's Boston. That's these huge markets. But I was way – I would be way more scared to face
him. Right, right.
He is, like – I mean, he's so legit and so nice. And, like, yeah, I mean, I just – I can't say enough about – like, that's a –
now and then with him.
Yeah, he's – I mean, he, and, again, yeah, super accessible guy. Has a great story. But yeah, that's awesome. So, Marvin, it's awesome. Thank you so much for coming out and doing this.
You said you had another favorite question.
Well, that was the, what's your goal?
What's your goal?
Yeah, that was my, that's my new, like, cause I was thinking about that the other day, what my goal is. Well, how would I know if I made it? And I'm like, I don't know. I wonder what other people think.
Not get filthy rich, but I would like to make a living off
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
It's. I had a few things that was said to me about when I started Low Face, so I'm just putting that out there. I'm not trying to be like a millionaire or something like that. I just want to live comfortable off.
You want your little corner?
Yeah. Just my little lane. You know, I ain't trying to take over. I'm not from Rochester, so I kind of feel like. That's why I'm backing Billy, because he's actually from Rochester. And a lot of people who have businesses here aren't from Rochester. And it just seems like it's kind of like this my city energy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rochester is very proud to be Rochester.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Even justifiably or not.
Right. But, yeah.
All right. Tell people where they can find you. Where can you find Low Face? I mean, like.
What are your socials?
What's your socials and all that?
Low Face Coffee at Low Face Coffee Instagram.
Cool.
That's about it.
All right.
Are we gonna do pre-orders on the next drop, or maybe look for the website too? Low Face. Yep.
I gotta.
Is it lowfacecoffee.com? Is that where it'll be, or?
No, okay. Actually, I don't have a site yet.
Okay.
I just have like a link.
I mean,
and I'll just send it to you.
Yeah. We'll post it everywhere once we, you know, determine what we're doing next.
Own pocket, so like, you know,
yeah, it comes along when it comes along.
Donate to the GoFundMe so I can do pop-ups.
Is this the buy Marvin a roaster, or is that an old one I saw?
No, this is a Millennium Mini, so I can go around.
Yep. Going for the cart now.
Yeah, sweet. Just go for the cart. I really want to roast, but it's just.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, one thing at a time. Awesome. Sometimes you got to step back to go forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally makes sense.
Aaron, anything you want to plug?
What's going on? I mean, just get involved in coffee in Rochester. Like, let's keep supporting our industry.
Build community.
You know, it came up once, but invest in your kids, man. I mean,
The
neighborhood kids, it's why I teach. And get outside.
Yeah, go outside.
We're about to get sun again, so
keep positive energy.
Absolutely.
No negativity.
And with Chris not here, I'm gonna say check out all the shows on the Lunchador Podcast Network, Lunchador Podcast, I think, on Instagram. I recently listened to an episode of Representation in Cinema with Jackie McGriff, and it was genuinely just one of the best podcasts I've listened to lately. I laughed my ass off. I was educated. I was like, man, I have all these new movies to add to my watch list, and some I was familiar with. So like, just, they're doing some awesome work there. Check out Jackie. She does great. Aporia, we're doing all kinds of fun things. Check us out, aporiacoffee.com. Pretty soon we'll do pre-orders for that Pacamara wine yeast maceration. And I think that's about it. Thanks again,
that's
Marvin.
That's a wrap.
GoFundMe, link in bio, Low Face Coffee.
There it is, at Low Face Coffee on Instagram.
Yep.
Follow the link tree, go to the GoFundMe. And until then, stay Dialed in.
Oh, that was the. I didn't know this. Oh man, I wanted to say that. I wanted to dial in.
Oh, thank you.
Stay dialed in.
We got it recorded.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.